And now, beautiful people going fast on fire. Welcome to the True Fiction Podcast, Kino Club Edition.
Welcome to True Fiction's Kino Club, where we discuss movies old and new. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the 2023 film Nefarious, an American independent horror film written and directed by Chuck Konzelman and Gary Solomon, based on the Steve Deese's 2016 novel, A Nefarious Plot. It stars Jordan Belfi as a psychiatrist who must determine if a convicted death row inmate, played by Sean Patrick Flannery, is faking his alleged demonic possession. But before we get started, Kino Club roll call. I'm Pat.
I'm Norbert.
I'm Marshall.
All right, fellas, we're going to be talking about this movie, Nefarious. What did we think about this movie? What are our likes?
There's a couple of things that I really liked about this movie. First and foremost, starts with Sean Patrick Flannery's performance. I thought this was a high-end, approaching Heath Ledger kind of performance. I thought his tics and his delivery were completely engaging. When you're watching something as simple as this movie, if you don't have a fantastic performance, this thing is boring. And so it hinges on his performance. If he doesn't carry this thing, it doesn't work. First and foremost, that. And then second of all, the simplicity of what they knew I don't know if they knew that they was going to get this kind of performance, but it was simple and stripped down. It didn't feel as though they was trying too hard, try to make it look like a big budget movie when it wasn't. And so I thought those two things were by far the strongest elements of this film.
Another thing I really liked about this was this is basically two men having a dialogue. And it, for me, didn't get boring. It didn't get old. I was really into the story. Some of the things that were said made me think a little bit. I think that showing this demonic possession in a different way than I've usually seen. I did watch a review where they talked about how a lot of the movies about demonic possession show you the outward things that are happening, like The Exorcist, where the bed is moving around and the things are rocking, and other demonic possession movies where, you know, their face changes or they throw up stuff or things like this. This was more cerebral. This was more about what was going on in the mind games of a demon. And I thought that was very cool. And I really dug it. I also thought that both men did a great job, but yeah, Sean Patrick Flannery, man, he blew me away in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think probably one of my more favorite things was Sean Patrick Flannery's performance in this movie. I think he really knocked it out of the park. I like movies that can be entertaining, but rely on very little. And I think this is one of those movies where the main portion of it is just a dialogue between two people. And for the most part, it kept my interest. I should say at least the attempt of what was done was so little. And I think for the most part, they executed it pretty well. I think I liked the way the dialogue kind of connected and flowed. And I think both performances were pretty good. Overall, those are my two favorite aspects of this film.
Another thing that I thought was interesting about the script that I thought was good is how the demon character hated the character he inhabited. He didn't love it. I thought that was an interesting choice. You know, he didn't have any appreciation of the host. He looked at him as just as something to use and discard. And I thought that was interesting because most of the time, you really don't even get that thought when I've watched horror movies with demon possession. It's not even that easy, even top of mind. You just have the character and a priest is trying to exorcise the demon. And you don't even get to that point where you feel his absolute callousness and disregard for the host character.
I thought Flannery did a great job of splitting those characters, letting them be different enough where you could definitely tell. But I think sometimes there were scenes with the host They were just really heartbreaking. I thought I really was buying into this, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, you felt compassion for the host character.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. And he's on this ride and he can't get off.
Absolutely.
And how he does little things to torture him. Like the little subtle things with the final meal.
That just broke my heart, man. It's like the last thing this guy's ever going to get. And he was just so callous about it. Like you were talking about, it was just, oh my gosh, that was rough.
Yeah. I think things like that did a really good job of character development for only having so few sets. There really weren't a lot of areas and things where, so I thought things like that were really good for showing character development. I like this too, because I feel like this movie could be boiled down to a play if you really wanted to, which I think is interesting. I like movies like that where you turn it into something, another type of media.
Yeah, don't say that too loud, because then somebody will make a musical out of it. That's the last thing I want to see.
Nefarious the musical?
The musical. Not since I've seen Anne Frank the musical, which that's an actual musical.
I sat through it in middle school.
Feel good movie of the year.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Here's the thing. I think you're right. It would make a good play, but if you don't have somebody that can pull that character off, it's not going to work. That play or movie would crash and burn if you don't have a really good performance in the nefarious role.
Yeah, you couldn't have them do what Sean Patrick Flannery did. He did his own thing. You would have to have something else that would separate the host from the demon. And also just because it wasn't just his delivery, it was a lot of it was his delivery, but there was also the way what he was saying, the dialogue was just really interesting. I thought anyway, when they were talking.
He was totally dialed into that character. I felt this was not a phone in job.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. I watched some interviews with Sean Patrick Flannery, and he was talking. This was directed by, as I said earlier, Chuck Konzelman and Gary Solomon. And he did something with them a few years back that never got released. He said it was a great project. It just, because of how Hollywood is, it just never got released. And he told him, he said, hey, you guys do a Fruit Loop commercial. I want to be in it. I just love your direction. And then they called him up and said, hey, I've got a Fruit Loop commercial for you. And then they had Nefarious, and he goes, I'm in. They go, no, read the script first. But he was ready to go because he just loved the way these guys had directed him before. And I'm going to say it worked. Definitely worked in this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was not expecting that caliber of performance when I turned this movie on. I had seen him in other stuff, and I thought he was really good. He's really good in a number of things. But this was excellent.
This is definitely a role that actors don't get a lot of that really lets them dig into the character and really just take it over. And he really excelled at that. What did we not care for in this movie? I think we pretty much hit a lot of the things that we liked. What did we not care for?
I personally would have loved to seen the movie end after the execution with the doctor having the gun. I would have liked the ambiguity of that better than the sort of the codas at the end. I don't think helped this movie personally. I would have, because I think the movie was strong enough with the performance and what happened that ending on the execution and the aftermath with the doctor would have been enough. That's my main criticism of this flick. I don't think you needed the end that they put on there.
I have a couple criticisms. This was advertised or marketed as a horror film. I don't really feel that it was a horror film. I think of it more of a suspense or thriller, but definitely not a horror film. And then there was a kind of a funny part where they're like arguing and he says something like, I'm 26 or I can't remember. He reveals his age, the lawyer or the psychologist. And it's, you're You know, like looking at him, you're like, no, I'm not buying that.
That's the and part that, you didn't buy.
that really took me out of it because he was like way low in age to what he was. I was like, look, buddy, you're not, I get you're an actor, but you're not fooling anybody there. So I thought that was
acting.
Funny. Yeah.
Acting.
I didn't like, and this might be my own experience with the film because I went into it with a blank slate. I don't like that it was a, I'm trying to think how to say this because what I'm, I want to say I don't like the religious undertones, but that's not really the truth of the matter because there's movies I really like with religious undertones, like Cool Hand Luke. Nothing else is coming to mind right now, but the, but there are other movies.
The Grapes of Wrath, have you seen it? Really, I don't know if you've seen it though.
I don't know if I've seen the Grapes. Yeah, I've seen, it's been a long time, but the, is that, I didn't know that had religious undertones.
Oh yeah. Huh. Absolutely.
The Exorcist, and that was just religious undertones. But I think the reason I didn't like it is because I went into it as a blank slate. And I think this film, it's marketed by and produced by like people who are affiliated with right-wing pundits. And which I usually don't have a problem with and stuff, but it is Glenn Beck has a big cameo in this. And I think Glenn Beck couldn't act his way out of a paper bag. And he was by far the worst part of this movie. And I've just never been a fan of, all politics aside, to me, they always say people have a certain type of face where you just want to punch them.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck has that type of face to me. And he could be saying the most correct thing in the world. And I don't care. It's his tone and the way he presents it that I have a lot of trouble buying into anything that he's attached to. And so seeing him in the film for me was like, ugh. And then I didn't like his acting in it. I thought he brought the film down. I don't think he really helped drive the plot. I agree with Norbert. I wish it would have ended right at the execution. I think this film would have done really good to leave a lot more to the imagination, if it would have left certain key points out and not spoon-fed the audience something. And the reason I say that is because the performances knocked it out of the park so well. It should have just been the jail and then the execution. We didn't need the whole part with Glenn Beck and dissecting and pulling apart what had happened and everything. And
bloviating.
Bloviating, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It added no value to the film, and it really was just a way for, I think, Glenn Beck to get in there and be like, hey, we helped produce this film. And to me, it feels like propaganda when I see him in it. And I think, honestly, you could edit all of that out of the film, and it would have been a killer film without that. But I feel like with the Glenn Beck portion of it, the religious overtone overshadow the story, which I understand to some people that's important and they find entertainment in that. I don't. I watched the film and I wanted to be entertained by the story. And I think up until that point, you had this terrific story with these two amazing performances. And then you took a big dump on it pretty much. And you put in Glenn Beck and his horrible acting. And it just felt like at that point, it was like pushing a message in my face.
Even if you didn't have Glenn Beck, put somebody else, an actor, in that slot.
Yeah.
I still don't think that scene helped anything.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think the part that at the very end, that wasn't necessary either.
Nope, not at all.
I agree. Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. In the grand scheme of things, it didn't make sense. I did want to say with the Glenn Beck stuff, something that, yeah, that was horrible. And when I watched it, I thought, and I listened to what he said, and I thought, and I have to use the word again, he's just bloviating. It doesn't go along with the film. It doesn't make any sense. I'm thinking that Steve Deese's wrote the book, A Nefarious Plot, which is what the movie's based on. And Steve Deese, he's an announcer for Blaze Media, which is where Glenn Beck is. And I'm wondering, how much money did Blaze Media put into this? You know, because I've not been able to find how much this cost to make. I would be very interested to find out what that is. Usually I can find that pretty easy. I've looked at several spots and I'm not finding that. I know how much it made. It made $5.4 million, which isn't a lot of money, but I don't know how much they spent on it. So it's really hard to say. I'm wondering, how much money did Blaze Media put into this so that Glenn Beck was in it? Because honestly, Norbert, you're absolutely right. Exactly what I thought. Once the execution was over, the film should have ended. Credit should have rolled. You know, you could have had something like, if you wanted to do anything as the credits are rolling, have Sean Patrick Flannery, his audio, him laughing. And I think that would have been perfect. That would have been great.
Yeah.
It would have been a better movie. All the work that they did in that movie, to me, was stepped all over it with Glenn Beck at the very end of it. And I didn't appreciate that. So I had to keep remembering, this was a great movie up until that time. They will say this is not a Christian movie. This is a movie made by Christians, which is different. And they explain a little bit about that, which I get. But I think I would have bought that a little bit more if that end wasn't on there. I really appreciated this movie because I'm not a Christian, but I watch all these movies. I watch movies from that are Hindi or they're. I watched a really good movie about Jewish mysticism that was a horror movie. I love this stuff. I love to hear about these different cultures and their religions. And this movie to me really brought the Christian. It really made me feel like Christianity wasn't making dumb movies. It made me feel like this was a really intelligent film up to a point. And I thought, this is what really should scare people that are believers. But I don't think there's as many believers now, of course. I'm sure there's not. And I think that was like back in the day of The Exorcist, people were freaking out because they could get possessed. But that now this is a movie about a possession that is probably the most realistic feeling one. As a matter of fact, there is a exorcist that I watched an interview. He said this movie was one of the closest to a real possessed person. He said, once you've seen them act up, this is the kind of how they are. They play mind games, these people that are possessed. So I just feel like they had a great opportunity and they blew it. And that's one of the things I didn't like about it. But you never know. There are other films coming out. They're Christian films. And there's, like I said, that Jewish film was amazing. There was a lot I didn't know about the Jewish religion, and it was brought into that horror movie. And I thought, man, this is really interesting and very cool. I'd like to see more of that, but don't proselytize in a movie. And like you said, Marshall, it's entertainment, even though I think we can learn a little bit. I really thought some of that, the dialogue in there was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it was more frustrating than anything, because I think through the movie, there's points that are like, wow, this is really well done. And then it gets to these areas with Glenn Beck and it doesn't really push the narrative along. And it feels like it's more of trying to push a message or something, but I wasn't a fan of. And I was very conflicted with this film because of the parts of it that are so good. And then you get to the parts that, to me, ruin the film. I think also I was a little distraught by it being marketed as a horror film, and then to get to a place where eventually I'm like, okay, not a horror film, but I'm still interested. And then basically the whole end portion with Glenn Beck and stuff really stole that interest, unfortunately, or I lost interest in it. But at the same time, so I feel confident in saying there are good aspects to this movie that are extremely well done. It's just unfortunate that I feel it wasn't enough, and there was just enough to ruin it for me that overall I wasn't a fan of it.
One of the things that I think about is I am a Christian, and I feel like that it left it by overstaying its welcome, and it ruined what it built up. And so I'm like, you want to see people that make films like this from a Christian worldview that are good, not just on the $5 DVD
right.
table. And so I was frustrated by the end because I know they had a great film. All they had to do was cut. And as Marshall says, just have a laugh at the end and then you're out. And people will think about the film and they don't need any more because all that addition at the end just subtracted from the film. And they had Glenn back in the early part. He was on the radio and announcing the thing. Yeah. So they had him in the film. That I don't understand. I do understand. I think it gets to the point where Pat was talking about. They want to push the Blaze media and Blaze invested in it in order to get that out of it. I'm sure that you're right. That's what happened. It's a disappointment, though, because all you had to do was just stop.
Yeah.
And stop. You had it.
Yeah. You know, I think I agree. I think there were some, I don't claim Christianity, but I do think there were, I enjoy learning about religions. And I think any good piece of art helps teach you something or you learn something more. And I felt like there were some different perspectives presented here on the Christian faith and in relation to what's considered evil and what is evil. That I found interesting, and I felt like I walked away learning a new perspective, in some aspects siding with a new perspective. But that was that performance, though. That was the scenes with the psychologist and Nefarious. It wasn't Glenn Beck's portion or the ending portion at all.
Even if you took the demonic possession out of it, you could still look at it as a moral tale. The hazards of going down a bad path, opening yourself up to your baser nature and what happens when you go down that path. And you wouldn't even have to, even if you didn't believe in demon possession, you could say, oh, well, there's a morality tale at the very least. And so it was almost there. That's what's so frustrating. This frustrates me because it had such a powerful performance by Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yeah. Personally, I would have found it more interesting if they would have left it more ambiguous, if it would have ended with him being executed and you really never knew if he was just an incredibly intelligent criminal who did all this back work on the psychologist, or was he really possessed? And I would have found that 1,000 times more interesting character. But and toward the end, I think that was what was frustrating about the end, too, is that so they laid into the idea that, okay, without a doubt, he is possessed. And then at the end of it, they really hammered that home to where it removed any of that interest with that character.
They basically showed the man behind the curtain, and it's not a good look. It didn't work. I looked at some reviews on this because I like to hear what other people have to say about it. And there were some Christian reviewers that had an issue with it because they wanted, like in the original Exorcist, the demon is taken out and it's got a happy ending. And they're saying the Christ is Redeemer. There was nothing about Christ redeeming anybody in this movie. I felt conflicted. I understand. I get that. But I also think that it's a movie. But so I think they would have done better if they had just left it more ambiguous. You don't know. And I think that would have been a more interesting thing. By the way, I also wanted to add, which is very strange, when this hit theaters, it was rated R. There is very little swearing in this movie. If there's blood, there's very little. I have no idea why this was rated R, only to think that maybe calling it a horror movie, a lot of horror fans don't want to go see a PG or PG-13 horror movie. That's the only thing I can
maybe
think
when
of.
They was talking about the execution. Maybe
that was his execution.
That's
was
pretty rough.
That was a little horrific. Yeah. Maybe that was why.
That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. Interesting.
Here's the thing. Another frustration for me is to think about the last thing you think about is what you're frustrated with it. Now you've got Christian reviewers that are upset because they don't have the redemption part of it. And to me, I think, again, if you cut it out at the execution, and as you said, leave it a little more ambiguous, then you don't even have that criticism.
Yeah, no. So what are our final thoughts on this movie? Should people go see this, or what do you think?
I still personally, I would give it a recommendation because I think Flannery's performance is so good. It's so good. It's worth watching for that performance. And the dialogue between the two characters is, it's almost a masterclass in how to hold attention without having much going on.
I can't really say any better than that. I agree 100% with you. I would definitely recommend it.
I'd agree. I don't know if I'd recommend it. I would recommend it in certain cases as an example of a film that does a lot with very little, and examples of great dialogue within a film. And then Flannery's performance, I would recommend it for those reasons. Outside of that, just as in general, somebody's looking for a horror, suspense, or thriller, this would not be my, not even my top 10 recommendations.
I get that. That definitely makes sense. And there you have it, folks. Another episode of True Fiction's Kino Club in the books. Thank you for joining us for another round of Movie Madness and sharing your love for cinema. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform and stay tuned for next week's episode. Until then, keep your eyes and ears open for the truth in fiction. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the True Fiction Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please visit us at Facebook. You can also leave us a review on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. Until next time, stay true and stay creative. Hey, you're too late.